Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, am I correct to say that Mother Sukada didn't read the summary yesterday? She didn't read it, right? Okay, so I'll just go back and read the chapter summary, very short, and then go on to text 2. So this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 1, entitled The Curse Upon the Yadu Dynasty. Chapter summary. This chapter gives a hint of the destruction of the Yadu dynasty, which took place owing to the appearance of an iron club. Hearing this narration is a great impetus for becoming detached from the material world. Lord Sri Krishna expertly arranged the great Kurukshetra battle between the Kurus and the Pandavas, and thus removed to a great extent the earth's burden. But the Supreme Lord, whose influence is inconceivable, was not yet satisfied because of the continued presence of the undefeatable Yadu family. The Lord desired to bring about the destruction of the Yadu dynasty so that he could completely wind up his pastimes on the earth and go back to his own abode. Using the pretense of a curse by an assembly of brahmanas, he withdrew his entire dynasty from the surface of the earth. By Sri Krishna's grace, many great sages, headed by Narada and Vishwamitra, assembled at the holy place named Pindaraka, near the city of Dwarka. Young boys of the Yadu family, absorbed in a playful mood, also arrived there. These boys, dressed Samba in the guise of a pregnant woman about to give birth, and inquired from the sages about the fruitfulness of Samba's so-called pregnancy. The sages cursed the mocking boys by saying, "She will give birth to a club which will destroy your family." The Yadus, frightened by this curse, immediately lifted the garment from Samba's abdomen and found a club. Hurrying to the assembly of Ugrasena, the king of the Yadus, they offered a report of everything that had taken place. Fearing the Brahmana's curse, the Yaduraj Ugrasena ordered the club ground to powder and thrown into the ocean. Within the ocean, a fish swallowed the last remaining lump of iron, and the waves carried all the bits of ground powder to the shore, where they were implanted and eventually grew into a grove of canes. Fishermen caught the fish, and a hunter named Jara used the iron lump found in its belly to fashion an arrow. Although the super soul, Lord Sri Krishna, understood what was happening, he did not wish to do anything to counteract it. Rather, in the form of time, he sanctioned these events. So then we can go to text 2. Ye ko pita subahu pandu suta sapatner. Durdyuta helana kacha grahana dibistan. Kritva nimitam itare tarita sametam.
Kritva nimitam itare tarita sametam.
Atvan Ripani Raharachiti Baramisha. Ye ko pita subahu pandu sutta sapatner. Durdyuta helana kacha grahana divistan. Kritva nimitam itareta rata sametan. Hatvan ripan nirahara chitti baramisha. Please chant. Ye ko pita subahu pandu supata sapne. Dudyuta helana kacha grahana bidista. Gritva nimitam itare karata sametam. Itva nipani rahara chitti baramisha. Ye ko pita subahu pandu sutta sapatne. Dudyuta helana kacha grahana bibhistam. Kritva nimita mitareta rata sametam. Atvan ripani rahara chitti baramisha. Ye ko pita subahu pandu sutta sapatne. Durdyuta helana kacha grahabam bistam. Kritva nimita mitareta rata sametam. Atvan ripan nirahara chitti baramisha. Mutters. Okay, so. No brave ones, no brave souls today. Okay, yes. Okay. Sapatner, I'll help. Ye ko pita subahu pandu sutta sapatner. Durdyuta helana kacha grahana bibhistan. Durdyuta helana kacha grahana bibhistan. Itareta rata sametam. Kritva nimita mitareta rata sametam. Chitti baramisha. Atvan ripani rahara chitti baramisha. Thank you very much for trying the translation. Well, let's go word for word. Ye.
Ye.
Vehu.
Vehu.
Kopitaha.
Kopitaha.
Were angered. Subahu,
Subahu,
excessively,
time and time
again.
Again.
Pandu Sutaha, the sons of Pandu, Sapatnai, by their enemies. Dudyuta, by duplicious gambling. Helana, insults. Kacha Grahana, grabbing the hair of Draupadi. Adidi, and other impetuses. Tan, them, the Pandavas. Kritva, making. Nimitam, the immediate cause. Itara, itarata, confronting one another on opposite sides. Sametan, all assembled. Hatva, killing. Nripam, the kings. Niraharat, took away once and for all. Shiti, of the earth. Bharam, the burden. Isha, the Supreme Lord. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Siddhartha Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Because the sons of Pandu were enraged by the numerous offenses of their enemies, such as duplicitous gambling, verbal insults, the seizing of Draupadi's hair, and many other cruel transgressions, the Supreme Lord engaged those Pandavas as the immediate cause to execute His will. On the pretext of the Battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna arranged for all the kings who were burdening the earth to assemble with their enemies, armies, on opposite sides of the battlefield. And when the Lord killed them through the agency of war, the earth was relieved of its burden. Purport. The Pandavas were repeatedly harassed by their enemies, such as Duryodhan and Dushasan. As innocent young princes, the Pandavas had no enemy. But Duryodhan was constantly plotting against his helpless cousins. The Pandavas were sent to a house of lack, which was later burned to the ground. They were administered poison, and their chaste wife Draupadi was publicly insulted when her hair was pulled and an attempt was made to strip her naked. Throughout these dangers, Sri Krishna constantly protected the Pandavas, who were fully surrendered to Him and who knew no shelter other than Him. In this verse, the word itaretareta is significant. Previous to the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna had personally killed many demons, including Putana, Keshi, Agasura, and Kamsa. Now, Krishna wanted to complete His mission of removing the earth's burden by killing the remaining impious persons. But as stated here, Kritva Nimitam, the Lord did not personally kill, but empowered His devotees, Arjuna and the other Pandavas, to remove the impious kings. Thus acting personally and through His immediate expansion, Balaram, as well as by empowering His pure devotees, such as the Pandavas, Krishna fully displayed the pastimes of the Yuga avatar by re-establishing religious principles and ridding the world of demons. Although the general purpose of the Kurukshetra battle was to kill the demons, by Krishna's arrangement, some great devotees, such as Bhishma, also appeared to be inimical toward the Lord. But as described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.39, by the words Hata Gataha Swarupam, many great devotees played with the Lord as enemies, and upon being killed by Krishna, returned immediately to His abode in the spiritual sky, in their original spiritual bodies. Because God is absolute, by His killing, He simultaneously removes the burden from the earth and encourages His pure devotees. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamstha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Vancha Kalpa Chirvas Chakrita Sinideva Chakrita Nam Pavani Diyo Vaishnava Diyo Namanava Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Srila Devau Prabhuti Namo Shri Shri Vrindata Vigira Padapad Pankajadayane Purupada Nipadayana Namah Shri Devau Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namo Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachamini Vishesha Samadhi Pastor Chapeshi Tarana Hare Krishna. So, among many, many discussion topics that has been discussed here in this purport, I want to talk mainly about two personalities, and that's Bhishma Dev and Queen Draupadi. So, as we heard here, the Lord is unfolding his pastimes in the sense of wrapping it up in removing the remainder of the demons and unscrupulous personalities from the face of the earth and reestablishing Sanatana Dharma, religious principles. So here in particular, we talked about Bhishma Dev, that he appeared and acted inimically towards the Lord. So this can be a little startling, because generally, when the Lord's devotee acts inimically towards him, they do that from birth, and their entire life is very, very harassing to the devotees. Typical examples are, you know, Kamsa, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, and these other demons mentioned here, Agasura, and the others. But, so, the Lord played with them in that way, and he enjoyed that sport as well. But these personalities are very prominent as being inimical towards the Lord and his devotees. But how can we say that about Bhishma Dev? How can we say that he's actually inimical towards the Lord? You know, throughout, there was really nothing that Bhishma was inimical towards the devotees of the Lord about. He was always such a great personality, he's always very, very kind to the Pandavas, the Lord's pure devotees. He stood up to religious personalities. He's such a great personality that we'd all appear in the Kshatriya race. At that time, the Kshatriyas, they would have like one wife, 10 wives, 100 wives, and you can go on. But in that era, Bhishma Dev pronounced this great boon, this great vrata, that he would remain Brahmacharya. So to do that in that age was like almost impossible. Only such a great personality as Bhishma Dev could have done that. And he maintained that throughout his life, till to the point where he actually battled with his own spiritual master, his own guru, Parashuram, over this point. So that's another long story, we won't go to that. But also we know that Bhishma Dev is one of the 12 Mahajans. So can we say who those 12 Mahajans are? Can we hear some names? Prahlad, Shiva. Okay, so you have it here. We will give you others an opportunity also. So anyway, let's say it slower so that everyone can hear. So Prahlad, Shiva, Bali Maharaj, Yamaraj, Bhishma Dev, Sukadev Goswami. Who else? Name the others. Narada, yes, who else? Yes, he said Bali Maharaj. Yeah, Janak is one. Who else? Name the others. Manu. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Kumar is there, Kapila is there. Balaraj Janaka Bhishma. So anyway, we have the 12. And the astonishing thing about it is that among the 12 Mahajans, Bhishma was a Mahajan among the Mahajans. He was prominent among the 12 Mahajans. So Srila Prabhupada indicated that. So can you pull up that verse 1919? And can you give the microphone to Divyanga Prabhu? He would please read that purport for us. So if you can see that purport there. So this kind of gives that this distinction of Bhishma Dev's qualities even among the Mahajans. Yeah, you can read the whole purport, it's not very long.
Purport. Pure devotees of the Lord are all buddhas, or persons who know the glories of the Lord and different transcendental loving services. As the Lord has innumerable expansions of his plenary form, there are innumerable pure devotees of the Lord who are engaged in the exchange of service of different humors. Ordinarily, there are 12 great devotees of the Lord, Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad, Bhishma, Janaka, Shukdev, Goswami, Bali Maharaj, and Yamaraj. Bhishma Dev, although one of them, has mentioned only 3 important names of the 12 who know the glories of the Lord. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, one of the great acharyas in the modern age, explains that Anubhav, or the glory of the Lord, is first appreciated by the devotee in ecstasy, manifesting the symptoms of perspiring, trembling, weeping, bodily eruptions, etc., which are further enhanced by steady understanding of the glories of the Lord. Such different understandings of bhavas are exchanged between Yashoda and the Lord, binding the Lord by ropes, and in the chariot driving by the Lord in the exchange of love with Arjuna. These glories of the Lord are exhibited in his being subordinate before his devotees, and that is another feature of the glories of the Lord. Shukdev Goswami and the Kumaras, although situated in the transcendental position, became converted by another feature of Bhav and turned into pure devotees of the Lord.
Yeah, okay, so that's the point I want to make. And as we all know, Sukadev Goswami is the one who is speaking this Bhagavatam, describing Bhishma Dev. So, in a sense, we can understand how the transcendental activities are such that there is no material calculation of hierarchy to them. That's Sukadeva Goswami, who spoke this entire Bhagavatam, relating all these essences, talking about, about Bhishma Dev being a great personality. And we can see some like that distinction there. And also that Bhishma Dev, he was able to relish the Lord's feature even more than Arjuna in his form as Parthasarathi, as the chariot driver of Krishna. And this Srila Prabhupada talked about also, that because Arjuna was sitting on the back behind Krishna on the chariot, he was seeing the backside of Krishna. But Bhishma Dev was in front of Krishna most of the times. So he was able to see the front side of the Lord and the actual features and able to relish that relationship much more than Arjuna. So that's described, if you can pull that up on 1.19.39, if you can read that purport also, the verse and purport, we can understand the kind of personality that Bhishma Dev is. That's such a relationship that he's so intimately connected with the Lord.
O powerful Brahmana, it is said that you hardly stay in the houses of men long enough to milk a cow.
Is that it?
Saints and sages in the renounced order of life go to the houses of householders at the time they milk the cows early in the morning, and they ask some quantity of milk for subsistence. A pound of milk, fresh.
Sorry, it's 1939, not 19. Did I say 19?
It's like sugar candy, wherever you touch it.
Sorry, it's 1939. Yeah. That's stated here in the purport. It's referenced in this purport here. Yeah.
A pure devotee of the Lord constantly sees the presence of the Lord within himself because of being transcendentally related by love and service. Such a pure devotee cannot forget the Lord for a moment. This is called trance. The mystic yogi tries to concentrate on the super soul by controlling the senses from all other engagements. And thus, he ultimately attains samadhi. A devotee more easily attains samadhi or trance by constantly remembering the Lord's personal feature along with his holy name, fame, pastimes, etc. Therefore, the concentration of mystic yogi and that of the devotee are not on the same level. The concentration of the mystic is mechanical, whereas the pure devotee is natural and pure love and spontaneous affection. Bhishma Dev was a pure devotee, and as a military marshal, he constantly remembered the battlefield feature of the Lord as Parthasarathi, the chariot driver of Arjuna. Therefore, the Lord's pastime as Parthasarathi is also eternal. The pastimes of the Lord, beginning from his birth at the prison house of Kamsa up to the Masala Lila at the end, all move one after another in all the universes, just as the clock hand moves from one point to another. And in such pastimes, his associates like the Pandavas and Bhishma are constant eternal companions. So Bhishma Dev never forgot the beautiful feature of the Lord as Parthasarathi, which even Arjuna could not see. Arjuna was behind the beautiful Parthasarathi, while Bhishma Dev was just in front of the Lord. As far as the military feature of the Lord is concerned, Bhishma Dev observed this with more relish than Arjuna.
Okay, yes. So there we go. That's directly from Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. So with this being said, I would like to hear from, ask some devotees that in what way Bhishma acted inimically towards the Lord. Can somebody give some suggestions? In what way did Bhishma Dev acted? Oh, Chiru Kram Prabhu?
Knowing that Duryodhana was such a rascal and venomous personality, he still supported him. See, he stuck to his side, and he was so inimical towards the Pandavas, so inimical. Yet Bhishma Dev stood on the side of him, and so. So, I mean, we know, of course, we know that it's a pastime and in one sense, but this is a way we can see, you know, that you know, the Pandavas, they were such exalted devotees of the Lord. This Duryodhana was such a rascal, you know, and because of the power of Bhishma Dev, Duryodhana was more confident too. He got more confident. not even want to settle for five villages or anything. See?
Okay, so.
So I mean, in that point, that.
Yeah. So anyway, so you know that's one of the points of Bhishma Dev behaving in an inimical way towards the Lord, and that with all he's a great personality, but there was a point that he missed, that he was upholding his pledges and religious principles to such an extent that he pledged to always protect Hastinapur. But that pledge became beyond rationality at some point, that with all the leaders of Hastinapur, they were for one inimical towards the Lord's devotees, and they were like against principles. One who supports them also can be considered inimical. So that was his problem. And even when, like, even Maharaj Yudhisthira had this problem, that he was such, he's called Dharmaraj, the king of religious principles. And he upheld religious principles so much, till to the point that when Krishna asked him to do something higher, he hesitated and he failed. That's when they were on the battlefield, when Krishna told Arjuna, told Maharaj Yudhisthira, that's when the fight got so fierce, and the only way for them to conquer is that they had to get rid of Dronacharya. They had to. So the only way that one could have reduced the enthusiasm of Dronacharya's fighting was to let him know that his son, who he was so attached to, is dead. So his son's name was Ashwatthama, and there was an elephant also named Ashwatthama. So that elephant got killed, and Krishna asked Maharaj Yudhisthira to announce that Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. So he knew what is Krishna's intention is to trick Dronacharya. So, and he said, when you say Ashwatthama, the elephant, he would blow his conch at the same time, so he would not hear that it's the elephant is dead and not his son. So Krishna, Yudhisthira Maharaj hesitated to do that. And it stated that at that point, his chariot, which always drove four fingers, whatever that means, 4 inches for argument's sake, over the ground, actually touched the ground at that point. So here, Bhishma Dev was succumbed to the same problem, that his pledges were so strong and he held on to these principles so much that he missed the higher principle of going beyond protecting the Lord's devotees. So if one is inimical to the Lord's devotees, it naturally means that he's inimical to the Lord. That at a time when Draupadi was being, the attempt was made to disrobe Draupadi, their great personalities were there also. Bhishma Dev was there, Dronacharya was there, Kripacharya was there, Ashwatthama was there, Karna was there, who was actually the unknown brother of the Pandavas. And all these personalities, they didn't stop it. So afterwards, Arjuna told Bhishma Dev, he said, not opposing it is like supporting. You know, there was a discussion that they had after. So in that way, that Bhishma Dev acted inimically towards the Lord. So, and for that reason that the Lord arranged that personalities like Kripacharya, Dronacharya, Bhishma Dev stayed on the opposite side, and he had to be instrumental himself to get rid of these personalities, because if they were on the side of the Pandavas, no one could have been able to conquer them, and that was another problem that Krishna would have had on his hands to get rid of these personalities from the face of the earth. So anyway, coming back to this point, that when he was there with Draupadi, when Draupadi was being attempted to be disrobed, there was something peculiar that happened with all Bhishma Dev was there. So that's like the number one way where he acted inimically towards the Lord, because there's a saying, love me, love my dog, or, you know, if you love the devotees, then you actually show that you love Krishna. There's that verse in the Adi Puran. Yome bhakta jana parta na me bhakta chate jana mad bhaktanam chaye bhakta ste me bhakta tamamata. That if one claims to be my devotee, they are actually not my devotees. But the ones who are actually, who are the devotees of my devotees, are factually my devotees. So it's like that. You have relationship with the Lord's devotees and you have relationship with the Lord. So that's one way that, you know, Bhishma Dev failed. In this pastime, of course, we know it's a pastime. So coming to the point of Draupadi, when she was being, the attempt was made to disrobe her, there is something that actually took place. At that time, Krishna was there in Dwarka, and he was sitting on the swing with Rukmini Devi, and they were swinging, having their wonderful time conversation. And all of a sudden, Rukmini noticed Krishna, you know, something strange was going on with him. Like he was getting insane. He would leave, he would get up, then he would walk to the doorway, and then he became dejected, his face got long, he just became totally morose, and then he come back and he sit back again on the swing. Then his mood changes, then he keeps going back and forth. So now Krishna, Rukmini was thinking, what's wrong with this guy, you know, like, do I need to get a psychiatrist or something? But then Rukmini knows that if she brings a psychiatrist to see Krishna, that psychiatrist would have to go and see a psychiatrist afterwards. So then Rukmini was thinking, what's going on? So at that time, what was happening is that Draupadi, while this attempt was made to disrobe her, she would pray to Krishna, oh, please, you know, please protect me. And then afterwards, she would stop the praying, grab her saris and start fighting with Dushasan. So when she was praying, that's when Krishna was coming to assist. And then when she started taking things in her own hands, Krishna got completely frustrated, got dejected, and had to turn back. So this brings to the point of something that is very, very significant in our lives as devotees. And that is our trust in Krishna. So that's where she was failing initially, to place her full trust in Krishna. And then finally she gave up, she placed her full trust in Krishna, put her hands up in the air, oh Krishna, oh Govinda, and then Krishna came and protected her, supplied all his saris, protected, everything went fine. So I want to ask devotees here that how many of us can say that this is a great problem we have in our spiritual lives for not placing our full trust in Krishna? How much of us agree, Mother Ekadasi? Radicals? Yeah, almost everyone. No, that we have that problem. Okay. So most of us are saying that yes. So as non-devotees, we have a problem that we are not devotees. And as devotees, we have a problem that we are not placing our full trust in Krishna. So this is one issue that we have. I mean, we can all accept it, that it's an issue that we have. And how much of us can say that when we actually, at some point in our lives, that we get this kind of instinct, per se, to place our trust, our full trust in Krishna, that he immediately take care and protected us, even temporarily? Can anyone give some examples in their lives of where they met with this situation? Can we see someone? Mother Raga? Yeah. Okay, yes. Yeah.
I had a circumstance where when I first became a devotee, I had just prior to it bought a house. And it was a big house in New York, a four-story house. Anyway, by Krishna's arrangement, the house started going into foreclosure and all kinds of things.
How can you say that was Krishna's arrangement?
No, that was part of Krishna's arrangement.
Okay.
But he then had the house, the creditors for the house, the bank,
yeah.
They foreclosed before I foreclosed. They actually foreclosed. The whole bank foreclosed. And I found out that I was like, actually one of maybe two loans given to this thing, because it was a black neighborhood, perhaps that might have been why. But it was just very ironic that Krishna arranged that this would happen, that the bank would foreclose so that I got several more months to make good on my mortgage payments, because my tenant has stopped paying me. And
okay,
when I moved to California.
So you pretty much recognize that as
absolutely as, Krishna's.
Yeah, because pretty much
verses.
In your own hands you weren't able to reverse the situation. Okay, right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Someone on the men's side would like to give some circumstance also. Okay, yes, go ahead. Govinda Mohini Mataji.
I'm not men, but Krishna has helped me so many times in my life that I don't know which story to choose. But right now, what comes to my mind is...
Before that comes to your mind, I want to ask you how much faith you had that, okay, you know, your good husband, Devanga Prabhu, would always stay and protect you. Is that a faith in Krishna also?
Well, actually...
Yes, anyway, go ahead with the story.
That was the same because I knew Lakshmi Muni and Akuti are going to close the ashram, and I was thinking, okay, Krishna, what am I going to do? And then he showed up, and I was like, oh, God, no. But I was thinking, well, he's Sankirtan devotee, and if I have to cook for somebody, at least it can be a service for the Sankirtan devotee. So Krishna actually made that arrangement that happened to...
Okay, thank you very much.
But that's not the story I wanted to...
Okay, That's just the prelude of the story. Now she's going to tell the story. Okay. Let's hear your story.
Oh, well, I was in Sweden at the temple, and then I went to Germany to get second initiated by Harikesh. And because all circumstances changed, and I was from Serbia, and I didn't know as devoted that they changed the rules, so I needed visa to get back to Sweden. So when I got to the border, they kicked me out and they sent me back to Germany. Long story, I ended up in jail and because I was trying to get illegally in the country. Then they let me out of jail and he said, you have 2 days and then you will go by train. That's the first time we can send you back to your country, and that's in Europe. So I didn't have money, I didn't have anywhere to go, I was just alone in Berlin, and the dark was coming, and I was, what am I going to do? So I was, Krishna, whatever, it's night, I don't have anywhere to go, and I saw on the buildings there are names of people, and I recognized the name from my country, people were from my country. So I walk upstairs and I knocked at the door, and the kids opened the door and they said, oh, you can come in and have a seat. And they thought I am their parents' friend. So I was sitting there, and then the parents came and they said, oh, hi, and they walked by. They were thinking I'm their kid's friend. So after a while, they finally talked to me and I told them what happened. And so they let me stay overnight in their house, and they were really helpful and wanted to help me, take me to the embassy. And so in many circumstances when really you have no any other shelter, Krishna will just come up with something. So
it appears as though sometimes what we generally do is that we would exhaust our own energies, and when we have nothing else, then we say, oh Krishna, if you have the right intelligence. So would anyone over here, Madan Mohan Prabhu? Yeah.
I was thinking of Balad Maharaj. He never asked for anything. You know, he was having a lot of difficulty with his parental, with his father. And he never even asked to be protected. He just continued thinking of Krishna, and Krishna did everything even without prayers. Where Draupadi, she had to pray, and when she stopped praying and tried to take care of things on herself, Krishna stopped. But Prahlad, he didn't do anything.
You know, I don't quite agree with you there. Prahlad did pray, did ask Krishna for something. There's that popular verse. Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya namaste tejas yavi rabhi bhava bhajanakam rajadam sakarnash kamashrayam randaya randaya tamo grasa grasa om swam abhayam abhayam abhutajam atmani bhuishta om shram. So that verse, you know, Prahlad Maharaj prayed, O Lord Narasimhadev, I offer my obeisances unto Lord Narasimhadev. who possesses nails and teeth like thunderbolts. Anyway, one part of the translation, he says, O Lord, please appear within our hearts so that by your mercy we can become fearful in the struggle for existence in this material world. So he did ask Krishna for something, that please let us become fearless, that we can become fearless. So please let us become fearless for the struggle for existence. So, you know,
he did that for us. He didn't do it for him. He was our
right. Yeah, yeah. But you know, for argument's sake, yes, he did. But it's a spiritual one. Divyanga Prabhu,
I have one where Krishna saved me. This was way back in '73 when we just gotten in the airport. Happened to be Cleveland, and I was going out to the airport every day. I mean, 7 days a week, I was in that airport, and there was people that worked in that airport that hated us so much that they did everything to stop us. They would pop the tires in the van, and they would put stuff in the gas tank. So devotees used to have to drop me off and then leave, because if they parked in the parking lot, they'd find the van and they would do some things to it. So they told me they hired a hitman, they were going to kill me. You know, they say a lot of things when you're out in Sankirtan. Mm-hmm. And one day, my tooth broke and I had to go to the dentist. So that morning, instead of going out to the airport, I went to the dentist. And another brahmachari who had never been on airport Sankirtan decided that that was the day he was going to go to the airport. And he looked just like me. He's a skinny guy with glasses. So Pari Charan Prabhu, the poor guy, he walks into the airport that day, and a hitman came over, tapped him on the shoulder, and hit him so hard in the face that it knocked him unconscious, and he landed on the floor. And then the guy starts banging his head on the floor, and then he kicks his face, broke his jaw. Mm. So after my dentist appointment, I'm supposed to be, that's me, that was supposed to be me. I'd been in that airport every day for a year, you understand, 7 days a week. And they hated me. They used to say that we're going to get you, we're going to kill you, we're going to get you. And that day I was at the dentist. So I came back to the temple to get some prasadam after the dentist, and the hospital called and said, you know Paul Zaroni? And I was like, that's Pari Charan. They said, well, he's unconscious, he's in a coma. So I, on the way to the airport, I went to the hospital to see what's going on, and he was laying there in a coma with a broken jaw. So what did I do? I went to the airport. And when I walked in the airport, those people saw me walk in, and they had just seen me being beat to a pulp and taken out unconscious. And I come walking in the airport, and I start doing my thing. They couldn't believe it. And the only reason I know the whole story is because there was a guy that worked in the store, and he saw the whole thing, and he told me the scene of what happened. Mm-hmm. This guy came, beat the heck out of Pari Charan, and he ran down the stairs, and somebody threw him a set of keys. There was a car in an illegal parking place, and he just drove off. So Krishna saved me. I didn't think about anything. I just had to go to the dentist. I was thinking, I don't want to go to the dentist, but my tooth hurt. So Krishna made an arrangement for me. And Pari Charan, I got to say, poor Pari Charan. Well, Pari Charan, he got out of the hospital, and he woke up, and they wired his jaw. It was a pain, and the poor guy. And he had to hang out in the temple, you know, in a dark room for about 3 months. He was completely freaked out. But after his recuperation, he came right back out to the airport, and he went, me and Pari Charan did Sankirtan for a couple years together. So.
Those are Lord Chaitanya's soldiers.
Lord Chaitanya saved me. I wouldn't have wanted to have been in that situation, you know, and I didn't have to think about it. Krishna made me right.
Yeah, actually, there was one story. Maybe Tribhukram Prabhu, you might have been there. Way back in the early days in Guyana, devotees were going out. In those days when they first started Krishna consciousness there, like others were really strong against us. I don't want to know, I have cuts in my head where people stoned us. And the marks are still there. So anyway, one day the devotees were going out on Harinam. And Bhattadi Prabhu, Mother Jayanti's husband, he warned them, he said, don't go down that lane, in that direction. And the devotees were thinking, we're curious, let's see what's going on in that direction. So they went there anyway, with a Harinam party. So what happened, there was a butcher there, a Muslim guy, butcher, and doesn't want to hear anything but Hare Krishna. So the devotees, you know, like when you go to a Harinam, we would move along and then we would stop and have this big kirtan, then we move again. So they happened to stop right in front of this butcher shop. And those butchers, they have their machetes or a sharper's razor. And this guy came out with his machete, you know, to start chopping the devotees. And he came right up, and lo and behold, right behind him was a police officer, just happened to come by, and he pulled his gun out, and he said, if you only go one step, you know, he's going to fire at him. And that was the only way. Generally, in Guyana, police don't really be around. Even if you call the police, you know, God is with you if he comes within 24 hours. Yeah. So that police just popped up there, and several devotees would have been injured if not killed. Were you there, Trivikram Prabhu? No, you weren't? Anyway, ask Bhattadi Prabhu that story. He knows it. So, you know, Krishna immediately there and, you know, protects. Anyway, Stithidi Muni Prabhu?
I got one. So this must have been early 80s. And we're building our Rath Yatra car. This is in Boston, down Roberto Clemente Park in the Fens. And I was there, I think it was like a break. I was there with another devotee. And Naranjana Swami happened to be there. I think he brought us lunch. And anyway, so there's a bunch of kids from Roxbury came over. The NBC took the bridge out later because too many punks were coming over this access.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there's a bunch of kids just started harassing us, you know, like 15, 17, you know, high schoolers. And I'm like pretty much a punk myself. So I, you know, and then the other devotees are just like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, I got to get all macho about this. So I picked up a 4x4 and just started chasing them down the pathway by myself, right? And they're all running off. And then one of them decides to look over the shoulder and sees it's just me, you know, being, and they turn around and I'm like, what are we running for? Yep. So they kind of back me up to the cart and Ranjaswami's there like, what, you know, but, you know, so it could have been pretty ugly, right? It was about six of them. But then these two huge jocks were tossing a football, you know, on the field right next to us, like they came over and made them back off and go away. And I mean, I, you know, this wasn't in my calculation or anything. I didn't know, you know. So even though I was a complete idiot, you know, I Krishna just sent these two jocks. I probably just saved Naranjana Swami, you know, because he was sitting there. But anyway, Krishna makes him right.
Yeah, so, let me see if anyone else has any other story. Yeah, Trivikram Prabhu, yeah, you have one, and I'll come back to you, being the last one of almost 9 o'clock.
I had to get an engine for my son's car, you know. And this place said they have half price this day, you know. So I said, I went on the internet and looked, see how they're doing it. And I looked at YouTube, saw how they take out the engine. I said, okay, I'm going to do it. I borrowed some tools, went down there, and started pull out the whole thing. But there was one bolt locked down there and it wouldn't come out. And it was just thing. And I said, I'll have to spend the whole day here getting this thing. And suddenly some mechanic that I know appeared. And he just went up, oops. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, wow. You know, and that was it really.
Yes, so even in material life we can see how, you know, Krishna can protect. But the problem is still, are we willing to really trust Krishna, you know, that he would protect? We have seen there are so many instances in our lives. And still, you know, this is one of the diseases that we have, being, you know, conditioned that, oh, you know, Krishna protected us that time, but, oh, let us try, you know, start fighting on our own again. You know, it happens to us all the time. So, you know, that's one issue we have. So let's go back to Mother Govinda. She has one more, and then you can end here.
This one was in Belgrade, and I was doing Sankirtan in the train. Before the train leaves, we would go inside the train and then distribute the books to the people. And before the train takes off, then you come out and go to the next train. So one day, because I was talking to somebody, and I noticed that the train is about to leave, and so I ran to the door, but it was automatic door, so they already closed. And through my head, all that was, it was the last day before New Year, that means this is the last chain, and there may not be next chain to come back, and also that was express chain, that means this chain is not going to stop at least for 6 or 8 hours. So I'm going to be really far away, and it's going to be dark, and there will be no chain to come back. So I just, whatever strength I had, I tried, and I pulled the door, and they somehow opened, and I jumped out of the chain. And the next, what I remember was that I had some stars, like really, really like sparkly stars in front of my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, all I could, that I was aware is that I had all Prabhupada books across me, because I had all set of books holding. So as I was laying down on the concrete, and all the books were like across me, like
scattered across,
yeah. You know, like cover, like protection or so. And the, above my head, there was a man that works at the chain station, and he's like, "Are you okay?" And I was trying to say something. I think I could just say yes, but I couldn't move anything. All my body was like completely motionless. And he said, "Are you trying to kill yourself? Are you crazy? Because when you jump out of the chain, this air pulls you right under the wheels." And he said, "I have no idea how did you survive." And I was thinking, I feel this book and I know how I survived. And he said, "Are you okay? Can you get up?" But stubborn as I am, I said, "Yes, I'm fine," but I couldn't move. So I was just praying, "Oh Krishna, I need to get up." And I was just thinking of books. I want to take the books. So somehow I managed to get up, but I was really like dizzy.
Thank you very much. So, I'll tell one last, you know, short story. My Guru Maharaj told me this, that sometime back in the 80s or 90s, they were in Vrindavan, he himself and another sannyas. And that sannyas disciple had to bring him a very, very important package from Bombay. And this disciple was like a space case. So he had to get the plane the next day to come back to the West. And it was so important that he bring this parcel for whatever transaction. And this disciple just spaced out and he didn't come when he was supposed to. So the sannyas was in a lot of anxiety that look how much, you know, what's going to happen here. So much disruption going to go on because of this person not being here. So my Guru Maharaj told him that, "Don't worry, maybe Krishna has a plan. You never know what Krishna's arrangement is." So he was really, but he was really upset. He was fretting. And the next day, his spaced out disciple came with a parcel. The result of that is that because the parcel was so important, he had to miss the plane because he couldn't have come without that parcel. And lo and behold, when they heard the news the next day, that's the only Air India that ever crashed, and I think everyone died. And that sannyas would have been on that plane if that parcel did reach on time. So, you know, Krishna made that arrangement. We can see, you know, from a devotee's point of view, he made that arrangement that, you know, protect us in that way. So, anyway, we'd like to stop here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.